All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll continue looking at the character traits of the Christian life, the character traits of charity. You remember that Paul was in the 12th chapter speaking about spiritual gifts, and all through this book of 1 Corinthians, he is dealing with problems that had come up in the church. There was a church full of carnal people. We learned from the 3rd chapter. And they had all kinds of issues, and we're going to see some of those issues tonight and tomorrow night, tomorrow night's Thursday night, next Wednesday night. Yeah, some of you will be here, won't you? I'm not preaching tomorrow night, though. But tonight and next Wednesday night, we'll see some of the problems and see how it fits into these characteristics, these character traits that Paul gives. And so anyway, they were having trouble with the gifts, and we have seen that that Paul deals with the gifts, and then after he just lays out the foundation, he says in verse 31 of that 12th chapter, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now, what is that more excellent way? Well, the more excellent way is to live a life of charity. It is to have the characteristics of charity, the characteristics that emanate from a heart of charity. And charity is the character of love. It is the character of love. Charity is the mechanics of how to make love visible. You know, it's one thing to say that you love somebody, but, you know, actions speak louder than words. Nod your heads like this. Of course they do. And, you know, you say you love somebody and then treat them like a dog. Well, there's a problem there. Okay. And so charity is the character of love. It is the mechanics of how to make love visible. And so he gives the 13th chapter, which are some wonderful, wonderful principles that every Christian ought to familiarize themselves with. And he said in verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal." In other words, I could stand up and preach with the most eloquent of tongues and the most dynamic message. But if I don't have charity, if I don't have this character of love in my life, I'm just up here making noise. In verse 2, he said, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And now in verse 4, he starts giving these characteristics. And last week we looked at the first two. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Tonight we're going to look at the next two. You will see in verse 4, he said, "Charity envieth not," and then, "Charity vaunteth not itself." And we'll stop reading right there. And verse 4 is our text tonight. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at your word tonight, I pray that you will bless in a mighty way. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit to be the teacher tonight. Lord, may we realize that the scriptures are our authority. And Lord, may we see and understand what the Bible says, and then Lord, may we obey and believe what the Bible says, and Lord, help us to apply these character traits to our lives. Lord, help us to search our hearts and see if we are this way, and Lord, if we're not, give us a broken heart over that, and Lord, may we seek to have these characteristics in our lives. May we seek to have this character in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you will just be honored and glorified in what is said and done. So, Lord, thank you now for our time together tonight. Bless it, we ask in Jesus' name and amen. All right. Charity is, as I've already mentioned, the character of love. It is, we talk about somebody, we'll talk about a young person, for example, and we'll say, oh, well, that young person has a lot of character. What do we mean by that? Well, what we mean by that is that young person has the understanding and the wisdom and the discernment to do the right thing. All right, they're not just following the crowd. You know, the kid that just follows the crowd and does what everybody else does is not showing good character. But someone who is doing the right thing and they do it because it's right to do right, then we say that person has character. And so what we find in this word charity, it is the character of love. You say you are a loving person. You say, oh, well, you know, I have a loving heart. Well, does the character of your love show itself? Does it display itself? And that's what these traits and these characteristics are all about. Here is a church. And it's interesting that this was written to the church that it was written to. Had this been written to the Ephesian church or to the Philippian church or even to the Thessalonian church, I'm afraid many of us maybe just have blown right over it and not really thought too much about it and given it the study that we have. But it's not. It's written to the Corinthian church. And this church is the church that is carnal. We read about that in verse 1 of chapter 3. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. A carnal Christian is a fleshly Christian. It is a Christian who acts upon the flesh. He has little or no character. And so this book is written to the carnal church as Paul is trying to get them to grow up and to mature and to develop some character in their Christianity. And so here's a church that is just filled with division and strife and pride and no doubt. A church, if you read the first 12 chapters of this book, you cannot help but think that this church probably had many of its members that were on opposite sides against one another, and that they had formed alliances, and as a result, the church was just a powder keg ready to explode. And so here they are with all these outward problems, with all this division, and all this strife, and yet, listen carefully now, and yet they are proudly displaying their spiritual gifts as if there was nothing in the world wrong in their church. Now think about that, all right? Now think, well, that's our context now. Remember, chapter 12 is about spiritual gifts. And so here is this church so full of division, so full of strife, so full of people choosing sides. And you got this group over here says, Paul's my pastor. And this group over here says, oh, no, Peter's our pastor. And this one over here says, Cephas, Peter or Apollo is our Apollos is our pastor. And they're so divided. And there's all these problems in the church. And all this confusion going on in the church, but yet they just continue right on proudly displaying their spiritual gifts as if there was nothing in the world wrong in their church or in their attitudes or in their hearts. And so basically Paul is just trying to tell them in this 13th chapter, according to verse 31 of the 12th chapter, hey, there is a better way. No doubt feelings had been hurt in the church. No doubt many had been crushed along the way as members of the church were consumed with being the center of attention, and people got hurt along the way. No doubt many a dear saint of God at Corinth had been criticized by others, had been hurt by others, had been gossiped about, lied about, and I dare say that many of them were so just burned out with Christianity that they wondered to themselves, well, why go on? What's the use? All we do is just fight and fight and fight. And yet these people, display their spirituality and flaunt it and show it out to everybody as if there's nothing wrong. And I'm sure that the church was just devastated by all this behavior. Now, last week, we saw the point that Paul is making here, and that is that there's a better way to handle life and a better way to handle problems than just the way the world handles problems. There's a better way than getting revenge. You know, there's a better way than being bitter all the time. There's a better way than walking around mad and angry all the time. There's a better way than making someone pay for what they have done to us. And that better way is the way of charity. What a wonderful word is this word charity. The actions that result from having the right character, that's charity. The actions that result from having the right character is charity. So Paul's point here is that, hey, church, there's a better way to handle things than the way you're handling them. There's a better way to live your life. There's a better way to go through life than the way you're going. And that way is to follow the way of charity. Now, last week we looked at the first two attributes, the first two characteristics of charity from verse 4. And we saw, first of all, how charity suffereth long. Then secondly, we saw how charity is kind. Man, we're so quick when someone wrongs us to strike back. We are so quick to get even, to seek vengeance. And we live in a world that's filled with people that have no idea what showing kindness to somebody else is all about. I mean, that's the world that we live in. And sadly, that world has made its way into the church in too many instances. And so think about this. We are more apt to be kind to a total stranger and yet be unkind to the ones that are the closest to us. Why is that? We'll hold the door open for somebody at Target. I mean, we don't even know that person. And then the wife gets out of the car. She got both arms loaded down with groceries and beeline in the house, slam the door behind ourselves and turn the TV on. We don't want to miss the national anthem or something. My goodness, what's wrong with us? Charity. Charity. And Paul said, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And you know, it's so strange the way things work. But the very people... Listen. The very people where it counts the most are the ones that we refuse to be kind to. Why are we that way? Well, it's because we're sinners. That's why we're that way. And we can be kind to the person we don't even know or to the person that doesn't even know us. But we can't be kind to the people that love us and would do anything in the world for us. And there's something wrong with our hearts. If I just described your heart. Oh, God, help us to see this. And God, help us to get on our knees and confess that we have sinned in this area. Now, let me tell you something. Hey, husband, you ought to be kind to your wife. Amen. All right, all four of you. But you know that's true. And wife, listen, you ought to be kind to your husband. What in the world is wrong with you? You're not right with God. That's what's wrong with you. You say, well, I'm offended. Well, not as offended as God is the way we treat one another. Now, folks, think about it. I mean, let's just ask ourselves, am I happy? Am I enjoying my family? Am I enjoying my marriage? Am I enjoying my kids? Am I enjoying my job? Am I enjoying life? And listen, just realize, hey, there's a better way. The way of charity is a better way. And why don't you just find your way to the altar and ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin-hardened heart, for your for your unkind heart, for your not long-suffering heart, and just make up your mind that some character is going to be lived in your life and you're going to start acting like a Christian ought to act. We ought to be kind one to another. All right, on three, everybody say amen. Ready? One, two, three.
Amen.
All right, see, you can do it. It won't hurt you. There's a better way. Now, tonight, let's look at the two ones that follow here. Look, please, in the middle of verse 4. He said, first of all, charity suffereth long. Secondly, it is kind. Now, thirdly, charity envieth not. Charity envieth not. Now, folks, what is envy? Well, plainly put, envy is nothing more than just plain old jealousy. It's just plain old jealousy. Where there is jealousy, you're not going to find charity. It just won't be there. Shakespeare called jealousy the green sickness. The green sickness. You remember in the Old Testament, after David won the victory over Goliath and came back, it says that the women went out and they chanted a little song and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And boy, Saul got green with envy. And the Bible says that from that day forward, Saul eyed David. He put the old evil eye on him. Jealousy. Jealousy. It's been called in literature the enemy of honor. It's been called in literature the sorrow of fools. And even the Lord Jesus had something to say about it in Matthew 20 and verse 15 when he talked about jealousy as being an evil eye. You see, envy takes basically two forms. They're different, yet they are closely tied together. And either form is just as bad as the other. And yet when they're combined, they can create a monster in the flesh of any human being. The first form says, I want what someone else has. I want what someone else has. That's a horrible way to live your life. Jealous of what someone else has. But what can also take another form, or it can also take another form, and it can say, I wish they did not have what they have. Oh, it's an evil thing once it gets in the heart. And a second kind of jealousy is even more selfish than the one I just described, and that one desires evil for someone else. This is jealousy on the deepest, most corrupt, and most destructive level. Listen, Christian, there is always going to be someone who is a little better or who is potentially a little better than you are. Always. And a Christian has to be careful lest the temptation to jealousy creeps in and we find ourselves wishing ill against someone else. Now, what is charity's reaction to this temptation? Well, when charity sees someone who is blessed, or who is popular, or who is successful, or who is beautiful, or who is handsome, or who is talented, charity is glad for them and is never jealous and never filled with envy. Jealousy is not a moderate or a harmless sin. May I remind you, it was Eve's jealousy of God, a seed that was planted by the devil when he talked to her about it. But it was Eve's jealousy of God sparked by her pride to which Satan successfully appealed. She wanted to be like God. She wanted to have what God had and to know what God knew. And that means that jealousy was an integral part of the first sin that was committed by mankind and from which all other sin has stemmed. The next sin mentioned in the Bible in the book of Genesis is the sin of murder when Cain killed his brother Abel. Why did he do that? He was envious. He was jealous of his brother that God accepted his offering and did not accept Cain's. And you can go on and on and on through the Bible and see how jealousy played into devious and wicked sins. Oh, it can take you downhill. Can I remind you that Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers because his brothers were envious of his father's of their father's attention to him? I mean, it's all through the Bible. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den because of the jealousy of his fellow officials in Babylon. Jealousy caused the elder brother to resent the father's attention towards the prodigal son. And on and on and on it goes. But in stark contrast, there are some examples of people in the Bible and character was in their lives and charity displayed itself in their behavior. This is how we should live. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Do you remember, do you not remember the example of Saul, Jonathan, and David? Now, David was blessed of God. There was no doubt about that. But Saul and Jonathan both acted completely different towards David. Saul tried to kill him. Saul tried to pin him to the wall with a spear a couple of times. Saul hounded him and chased him with the intent of killing him for 10 years through the Judean desert. And Jonathan, we are told, and may I remind you that Jonathan loved David. And may I remind you that Jonathan was Saul's son. And may I remind you that as Saul's son, no doubt everybody in the kingdom felt that Saul would appoint his son Jonathan to be the king in Saul's stead if anything ever happened to him. I mean, he was next in line to ascend to the throne. But none of that affected Jonathan in his relationship towards David. He loved him. Go back, hold your place here, of course, but go back to 1 Samuel real quick. Let me just read you a verse. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Actually, I'm doing, having you look this up. I could just quote you the verse, but having you look this up because I want a drink of water and I don't want you watching me drink. Look at verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 17. Look at it. It says, and Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. That's charity, dear friend. If anybody, I mean, humanly speaking, if anybody should have been jealous, it should have been Jonathan. But Jonathan loved David as he loved his own soul. And folks, when you see somebody that God has his hand upon, you see somebody that God is blessing, don't let envy sneak in there and drive a wedge in your heart. I mean, listen, thank God, we're all on the same team. I told you years ago when I was pastoring in Bell Creek Baptist in Dixie, West Virginia, just about a mile down the road from us was a split off of our church. It was about a 20-year-old split off of our church. And one of the deacons didn't get his way, so he split the church, went down, they started another church. And the pastor had been there about 5 years, and I was the new pastor at Bell Creek. And we had one of those boards, you know, one of those mood setters. You know what I'm talking about, those attendance boards. You remember mood setters in the churches? You remember those? And it was right up at the front, you know. I mean, mood setters. You know what I'm talking about. That's all there was here today. You mean that's all the offering? Mood setters. Yeah, that's what they were. And which I removed, by the way. But not for a while. But anyway, it's right on the wall right here. And we had the front door of the church, and it had this glass thing. And he would drive up there every Monday morning, and he would peer inside that glass and look to see how many we had and to see what our offering was. And one day he was up there and he was peeking through, and I just happened to come around the front of the church, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he jumped and he turned around and he goes, "We beat you." And I just looked at him and I said, "I thought we were on the same team." And boy, his head went down. I mean, you'd have thought I just sucker punched him in the solar plexus. I mean, he just, all the air went out, life went out of him. He just stood there and he looked up and he goes, "You're exactly right." He said, "I've been doing this every Monday. I've been coming up here every Monday to make sure that you didn't have more in attendance yesterday than we did." He said, "How carnal is that?" I said, "That's pretty carnal." I mean, think about it, folks. We're on the same team. And you know, God blesses all of us in different ways. God equips us all in different ways. And God gives us all different gifts and talents and abilities to do the job. And so when you see somebody that God has blessed, hey, just praise God that that the Lord put them in your life. There's something God has given them that they can be a blessing to you. Don't be filled with jealousy and envy. Just don't let that happen to you. I mean, it's so easy to let that creep into your life. And so contrast that to Saul. Saul lost his throne because of his jealousy. He lost the hand of God upon him. He lost the blessings of the Lord and ended up ultimately losing his own life out of a jealous heart that started back many years earlier. And folks, here's something to consider. Jonathan willingly forsook the throne and received a greater blessing because he had enough character not to allow jealousy to enter into his heart. That's good, isn't it? That'll preach right there. All right, number two. Number two. Let's look, please, at the next statement. We saw charity suffers long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Number four, charity vaunteth not itself. Now, what's it mean to vaunt? You know, it's not a word we use every day. But what's it mean to vaunt? We know what it means. Huh? What are you saying? To promote, to throw yourself out there, to shove yourself to the front. You know what it means to vaunt. Somebody will say, watch him vaunt forward. You know, watch him go forward. Watch him vaunt forward. Watch him, you know, the blue light special at Kmart, you know, the light comes on. Everybody's vaunting towards the blue light. They want to be first, you know. When I was preparing the lesson yesterday morning, I was sitting there, I was thinking about Black Friday, you know, the Friday or Black Thursday, whatever, Friday, Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, you know, and the stores open at 5 o'clock in the morning. Oh, dear. My wife always says, "You going to go?" That chokes me up. No, I'm not going. Go down there and fight all them people. I'll just pay extra for it. I don't care. They take it all back anyway. Now think about it. You stand down there in line at 5 o'clock. You get up at 4 so you can get in line at 5. And then you give it to them at Christmas time. The day after Christmas, they take it back. You got up for nothing. All right. What's this mean? Well, listen. When a Christian has charity displaying itself in his or her life and is successful in life, and you will be if you're displaying character, he doesn't brag about it. He doesn't boast of his accomplishments. In other words, he does not brag about his success. Charity does not parade its accomplishments. Bragging is the other side of jealousy. Jealousy, listen carefully now, jealousy wants what someone else has. Bragging is trying to make others jealous of what we have. Did y'all get that? That took me an hour to come up with that. Write that down. That's pretty profound. I don't come out with profundity very much. Bragging is the other side of jealousy. Jealousy wants what someone else has. Bragging is trying to make others jealous of what we have. Jealousy puts others down. Bragging builds us up. And it is so ironic that as much as all of us despise bragging in others, we are also inclined to brag on ourselves. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, let's remember our context here. All right, what's the context? The context is spiritual gifts. All right, now, the Corinthian believers were spiritual show-offs. constantly vying for public attention and to be seen. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I have 1 Corinthians 14. That's how I know that. And you get over into the 14th chapter and you see how they were behaving. And they were all clamoring for the most showy gifts, for the most prestigious offices, and for the most glamorous of gifts. Look at chapter 14, verse 23. Look at the 23rd verse of this 14th chapter. Paul said, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are all, or that ye are mad? They all wanted to speak in tongues. Why would they want to do that? Why would they want to do that? Folks, look, I dare say they had a little bit of knowledge of the matter, but Paul, look at verse 27. Paul says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by what? How many? Two. Or at the most by three, and that by course. In other words, one at a time. All right, and let one interpret. And if there be no interpreter, then keep your mouth shut. Hush. All right. Look at verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. I mean, you know, here, this guy comes to, well, I'm a prophet. And this other said, well, I'm a prophet, too. And so they all both start prophesying at the same time. And people are sitting there going, you know. One guy gets up and starts speaking in tongues, another guy, and then everybody's doing it. Paul said, look, if some unsaved guy walks in here and sees you people acting like that, he's going to think you're nuts. But they all wanted to be seen. They all wanted to be seen. They all wanted to speak at once, according to verse 23. In verse 26, look at verse 26. Oh, I like this. Paul, I just love Paul. He's so sarcastic, quick-witted. I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to say amen after every sentence he says. Galen, turn me off just a second. I can't breathe. Hold on. Sir. Y'all pray for me. Good night. Where am I? Verse 26, look at this. How is it then, brethren? I like this. Are you listening to this? How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm? That is so sarcastic. I mean, that's rhetorical. The answer is an obvious, you don't. Yet they were. You say, well, how do you explain that? It's called counterfeiting. It's called fake. But that's where that spirit of vaunting yourself takes over. Hey, folks, spiritual gifts can be imitated. They can be imitated. You say, no, they can't. Yes, they can. Don't you remember the magicians in Egypt were able to imitate Jannes and Jambres? Were able to imitate the miracles that Moses did? Oh, yeah. And notice the sarcasm with which Paul asked this question. How is it that every one of you hath? I mean, it is Paul's way of telling them that their displaying of gifts, their vaunting of themselves, had turned into a contest to see who could outdo the other. And that's nothing but carnality. That's nothing but carnality. And it shows me that their gifts and the display of their gifts was counterfeit. They cared nothing for harmony. They cared nothing for order. They cared nothing for fellowship. They cared nothing for unity or for edification or for anything else worthwhile. They cared only for vaunting themselves. And Paul is letting them know that he is not impressed with, and that he knew they were counterfeiting the gifts. Folks, listen. You watch this stuff on TV. You watch this charismatic stuff on TV. And I know you do. I know you do. You wouldn't argue with me about it if you didn't. But you watch this, you watch these TV preachers and you watch their services and you watch their congregation speaking in tongues. And it's not in line with the scriptural guidelines that's given here in chapter 14. I've watched Rod Parsley in the white heat of preaching, and he'll stop and rattle off something that sounds like Arabic, and it's always the same. I've watched it just to see it, just so I've watched it just to see it. And I remember Mr. Swaggart doing that. I remember Mr. Swaggart doing that. And never, never, not one time have they stopped the service and had an interpreter come up and interpret what was just said. Never. I've never seen that. I'm saying it's counterfeit and it's vaunting oneself and it's a deception to the highest degree. And you listen, dear friend, if the fruit is bad, can you not imagine that there's something seriously wrong with the root? The truth is, this vaunting of oneself is a horrible sin. And while studying for this message tonight, I read where C.S. Lewis called bragging the utmost evil. It is the epitome of pride. Pride is the root of all sin. Bragging puts ourselves first. Vaunting ourselves. It puts us first in front of even God, who is the one who blessed us with what we have. You understand that? You're vaunting yourself. You're putting yourself ahead of God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. You're nothing in yourself. Everything you have, God's given it to you. And it's impossible to build ourselves up without putting others down. And when we brag, we can be up only if others are down. Now let me show you the greater contrast of this. Go over a couple books of the book of Philippians. Chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 5. Here's the flip side of this, dear friend. This is written about Jesus. Look at this. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen carefully. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now you think about it, dear friend. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he was God incarnate. Amen. That sunk into you? He was God, sinless, perfect God. Yet he never exalted or vaunted himself in any way. Instead, he was humble. He had everything to boast about, but never boasted. In total contrast, we have nothing to boast, but yet we are so prone to boast. And only the character that comes from charity, demonstrating itself in our lives, can keep us from boasting, from flaunting our knowledge, our abilities, our gifts, our accomplishments, whether they be real or imagined, only charity can keep us humbled. Don't forget, dear friend, that character, charity is the ability to do right. It is the character that gives us the ability to do right in any given situation. And charity, Bible character, will keep us from vaunting ourselves when really it is not us at all, but it is God who has blessed us with whatever it is that we have. All right, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your blessed book. Lord, as we look at the scripture, it sometimes goes against the traditional thinking that we've grown up with. Lord, help us to realize that the book is the final authority. And Lord, not our feelings and not our theology or our what grandma taught us, but Lord, the Bible is the final authority. And Father, I pray you help us to realize the Bible is God's word and realize that when Paul wrote this, he knew exactly what he was talking about because he was led of the Holy Spirit to write it. And Lord, I pray that you'll just open the eyes of people that have been blinded by deception. And Lord, help us to get back to Jesus and back to making much of Christ and winning souls and keeping people out of hell. And Lord, I pray that you'll just give us a real humility, humbled spirit, that, Lord, we will just let you use us as you have blessed and gifted us. And Lord, open our understanding to what we've heard tonight. Lord, help us to be long-suffering towards those we love. Help us, Lord, it's easy to be long-suffering to those we don't know, but it's to the ones that care about us the most and the ones that are the closest to us that we struggle. And Lord, it's only because of sin. May we get that sin out of the way and let the character of charity take its place and start being kind one to another. Start treating one another with respect and dignity. Start honoring one another's feelings and opinions, and Lord, not be vaunting ourselves and selfish all the time. God, give us a heart for this, I pray. Just open our understanding to what we've heard. Convict us, Lord, and show us our need. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.